Begin to bless the name of the Lord because your ears are open. The Bible said the seeing eye and the hearing ear, God made them both. Your ears are open and your eyes, they see. You will not walk in blindness. Say, thank you, Father. I'm ready for the word of God. It is life unto me. And I bless you, Jesus. The glory is yours, Father. The honor is yours and adoration is yours forever and ever. In Jesus' powerful name we have prayed. Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you are blessed, give me an amen.
Amen.
Now let's quickly take our declaration of understanding. We'll sit down, study, and then we'll continue to pray. The Lord is good. All right, one, two, let's go. Now I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats and quickly get into our teaching. Joshua chapter 7, let's just read that again. Again, what we are looking at is how to, that is praying to remove the obstructions, to delays, to answers, to prayer. Many times we have to be the one to do that. Let's quickly just read that Joshua chapter 7. And then we'll remind ourselves about something from the book of Daniel chapter 10. Now what's in Joshua chapter 7? I won't read much of it to save our time. The story again is that of Israel's encounter or experience when they went to attack the city of Ai. And then they thought it was going to be a simple city to overthrow. And so they went with 3,000 men. But those 3,000 men suffered confusion. They were routed. The number of them, about 36 men, were struck down by the warriors of that city. And then when they came back, verse 6, Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. Both he and the elders of Israel, they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said this, "Alas, O Lord God, why did you ever bring these people over the Jordan, only to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us?" Now, to save time, God now said in verse 10, just jumping now, He said, "Rise up, why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban, and have both stolen and deceived." Let's make a long story short. That was why they lost that battle. That's why we're reading this. What are we reading from this? Just trying to show the mind that the people of God should have. Last time I spoke extensively about it. How we should have a God-centered mind. How we should have a God-centered mind. We should never accept that anybody has control over our lives apart from God. Now please, when you say this, people sometimes misunderstand. Fact, let me just first state some facts. The fact is that nothing can happen to you on this earth if God did not, okay, just for the purpose of argument, so that, all right, I won't have to explain too many things. If God did not at least permit it, the more accurate word is to command it. Because in even His permitting, He has to issue forth a command. He has to say to Satan, "I have taken the goods of Job and put in your hands." And He says, "Thus far, you can afflict him, but you cannot touch this." Once He said you can't touch his body, the next He said you can't kill him. Now, those are facts about life. When we say God is a judge of the living and the dead, that's what it means. He's not ashamed. He accepts the full responsibility. You may not like what is happening. Right now, of course, we know the war in Gaza has been going on since last year. It's over a year now. I think it was October 7th last year when it began. Well, when the attack happened. And they've been fighting since about that time. And tens of thousands have died. I read a report today that said 70% of them are women and children. That is, they are not combatants. So many people will say, it's the devil. I say, leave that thing. My understanding is that God decreed that judgment. He doesn't mean he likes to do it. Just like a nice pastor, teacher of the scriptures, can be a judge. And if a man is charged and found guilty of a sentence that the prescribed judgment, punishment by the law, is death, he wouldn't be a right judge not to put that on it. He can't say, you know, I'm a Christian. That is the thing about it. So please, that's the first fact I want to state. Second fact, or second truth I need to preach, is that you also have to consciously, as a child of God, deliberately, with full determination, remove the power that anybody may want to have in your life. You must deliberately remove it from their hands. You must. And we do these things by faith. If you keep on saying every day, the witches don't want me to prosper, God will empower them to be able to prevent your prosperity. Why? It's what you said. If you keep on saying every day, the devil is doing me like this, God will empower. See, let me explain. Each of those words you speak, say in law, if you are to appear before a judge, the strongest evidence against you is what you say. I use the word against. You can say they didn't do it, and they won't listen. They'll try to prove you did. But even if everything says you did not, and you put up your hand and said, I did. The strongest evidence against you in the court of law is your own words. I hope you're getting my point. So if you get up every day and say, I am subject to the devil. I am subject. I'm at peace because of the ignorance of the enemy. The moment they have information, they will say to God, he can't be at peace, she can't be at peace, because now we have information. Why can't he be at peace? He said his peace is predicated upon our ignorance. Let me remind us again. God sits constantly on matters about your life. That's why I say to people, listen, if you get up every day and they give you food, you start checking, does it have cholesterol? Or have this, or have that. The more you do that, the more those chemicals are empowered to harm you. They are never empowered to bless you by your words. They're only empowered to bless you by your thanksgiving. If you go there, what I mean by those words of like, you get up, this has a high glycemic index. I will soon die of diabetes. Correct. When you see, please understand this. Spiritual things are real. And they are more powerful, more important than the physical. That is why you will understand that men like Abraham lived to be 180 something years of age, and they didn't have a doctor. Nobody ever checked their blood pressure. And they didn't have coronary buildups of atherosclerosis. They didn't have. You know what is killing people? You want to know the truth? Iniquity. Sin. All our medical intervention, struggle, and all of that is against judgment for sin. And God in his mercy allows it to succeed sometimes. Why was the Bible careful to tell us that Moses was 120 years old and his eyes were not dim? That is, the grace of God can keep your eyes strong. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? So please, you have to be careful. When I talk about God-centered thinking, is both a fact that only him is judge, but again, there is a discipline of faith required to remove the powers that other people may try to have over you from their hands. That is why you walk in forgiveness all the time. That is why your brothers, your name is Joseph, they can plot against you, and then one day you meet them years later. Yeah, I don't know exactly how long, but years later. Definitely more than, maybe about 15. No, more than 15 years, if we do our calculations, you know. He was a teenager, then he became prime minister at 30. Famine lasted, abundance lasted 7 years. The famine started a few years after famine started. They now went to look for food. So it's been a while. Maybe close to 20 years. And then you see your brothers. And then what you are thinking about is, my God. Honestly, Issachar, I never knew you could do that. It's my turn to avenge. The man just looked at them and said, you meant it for evil. You know, when he saw them, did you notice? It was tears this guy was shedding. When they were like, hey, why did you do this? He ran out to go and cry. He felt for them pity. There are people I see sometimes, I just said, I was talking to somebody recently. I think it was my wife, actually. I said, this guy, when I think of him, this is pity I feel for him. Let me give an example. Once, the person I'm thinking of, a man traveled abroad. You know the way Nigerians do something, they bring stuff. So I went to visit, I said, hey, you're back, senior fellow. Oh, he said, yeah. So he opened his drawer and said, I brought you something. He gave me a t-shirt. You know, like a vest, actually. All right? Now, it was not my size. So I couldn't wear it. But of course, I thanked the man. God bless you, sir. I appreciate it. I took it home. So I was asking, okay, who can I give this to, not being my size? The first person that came to my mind, this particular individual. Are you getting my point? It's a new shirt. Somebody bought it for me from Canada. And it's a nice one, good cotton. You do see, very nice, simple vest. You wear an undergarment. So I told my wife, this guy, I would love to give it to. I said, but I don't want him to have his skin rash tomorrow and be thinking of me. I don't want him to be driving and fall into a gutter because he didn't see there was a hole there. And he said, ever since this man gave me a t-shirt, do you know? Because of that, I didn't give him my t-shirt. It was his perfect size. I had to go and look for somebody else. I can't remember who I finally gave it to. But I said, how can a human being live like this? So if he does anything against me, you know what I feel? Pity. Always checking. I said, this guy, God, how are you living? There was something he did once, and I shook my head. I wanted to get, not against me, against somebody else I had. I wanted to get angry. I actually told him to his face that I don't think you're okay. How will you do such a thing? He was trying to explain. I said, no. But you know, deep inside, I realized what his problem was. Fear. No, what I mean, imagine now that your wife goes out and you say, it was our neighbor's birthday, and she comes back home with a big bowl of rice and chicken. You know the normal thing we do now. And it's not this that happened, just something, just to give an illustration. So imagine that my wife does that. She comes back, and I see my children eating rice. I say, why do people see rice? I thought people say we're planning to eat. You wanted to eat yam and egg sauce. He said, yes. So mommy went, and I just carry the food, go outside, and throw it out. Imagine that kind of scenario. You know, the children will be wondering, like, what's going on? And then you come to the house. My wife and I are fighting. This woman, I've been wanting you in this house. You will not kill my children. Do you get my point? This is a party that maybe there were 100 people and they all ate. Yeah, because I didn't come and the kids didn't come and the neighbor now said, madam, where's Oga? Oh, sorry, he didn't come back on time. The children, they all went out together. No. And then she packed something and gave to her. Maybe something like, this is, I'm just giving an illustration. That's the kind of thing that my guy did. I looked at him. Why would you do that? He was talking. He didn't do it against me. But I said, how are you living? How? I began to pity him. You know, I talked to somebody today, one of our friends, having some issues in the family. And I said, where did this even begin? What did this guy, your brother, what did he accuse you of doing? By the time I heard the story, I said, God, they have come again. And that's why the only group of persons I pray against directly and I curse them from the bottom of my heart are false prophets. Go and check it. I don't mean so as when I'm. I said, God destroyed them, scattered them, removed their head, attached it to their toe. You know that kind of thing. Yes. They are the worst problems I know around in this society. I will take a small digression and go into it. My assistants are not here that help me remind me of where I was. Who's going to help me today? Okay, let me tell you what I will say so in case I forget. I'm reminding us why we have to be God-centered. And the point I'm on now is that you have to take control of your life away from so-called enemies and the devil and all those kind of things and bring into the control of God and leave it there. And I'm explaining why forgiveness is a method by which you do it. You are refusing to accept that this man has power over me. So I didn't get this. He didn't help me. You say, no, I won't be angry with him. Why didn't I get it? God did not grant it. If God granted it, he's too smart to deny it. And if God wanted to help me, God would have compelled him or somebody else to help me. And so if neither he nor somebody else helped me, then God did not grant the help ahead. Because if he speaks, who can hinder it? As for his outstretched arm, who can turn it back? And that's where I am. Remind me. Let me now take my small digression. Please let me tell some people who don't know, they've not heard it before. Maybe they've not heard us teach. False prophets are doing business. And the way their business is done is to separate you from your family. It's the way the business is. Once some false evangelists, false prophets are different from false evangelists. So, true. Some false evangelists went to do a crusade in Kwara, somewhere around the Loren. Some pastors now had them arrested because they put people in wheelchair and dragged them. You know, Baba TB in Lagos, he was an expert in it. All those miracles he used to do, they were generally staged. That his guy told us that what they used to do is that a lot of the people who were participating were not willing participants. He would say, look, there are so many people to be prayed for. So if you want the prophet to pray for you, you have to make sure you look like your case is critical. That's what he used to arrange. He said, what do we need to do? He said, what is your problem? He said, my back is paining me. He said, okay, come and sit in this wheelchair. He said, prophet normally goes to those who have wheelchair first. Do you catch it?
Yes.
So a lot of them will sit in wheelchairs because they were told it's a way to get what? Quick attention. So the man will get there and start laying hands. Get up. Of course you will get up. Why won't you get up? And you will run. And the camera will say, oh, miracle. It was not a miracle. It was all staged. That's the smaller side. So our guys went to Ilorin. They were doing their fake miracles. And then they were arrested. And the police took them and went and locked them up. So the police was now invited, asking them, what is all of that? They said, look, now this is what I'm telling the story. They were looking at the policeman like, what's your problem? Now they didn't hide it. That's what interested me. They spoke to the police people that, listen, it's a business. This is how it's done. They didn't understand what the problem, I mean, like, what's your problem? Okay, police. We are hustling. You see, if I'm a mechanic, I will loosen vehicle parts, fix what is wrong with it. Is that not so? And if I'm an evangelist, I look for fake people, do miracles, and collect offering. That is how the business is done. And this was these people told the police. I'm even wondering, this is Nigeria. Which law will you charge these people now? Those of you who are lawyers, maybe you will help me. Is it disturbing the peace? Because they are not disturbing anybody's peace. What? That's obtaining by false pretenses. Okay, that will work, it's true. But then what are they obtaining? No, the money is free. No, the offering was free will. See, what I do. Now, where I'm going, remember my digression, okay? I use that prophet as an example. Those are fake evangelists. False prophets is also the way they do their trade. Please, they don't see, there are two types. Some of them, they're the one I want to describe now. They don't see visions. They practice how, it's psychology. They know how to manipulate people. So you come, they start praying, and you tell you have a dark auntie. Now the chances you have an auntie that's dark skinned in Nigeria is 90%. Unless you are lucky. And your father is an only child, your mother is an only child. Even then, in Africa, you'll have had an auntie that grew up in the house, even though not a close relative. Is that not true? And how can you be in Nigeria and somebody is not dark? Is it possible? And for your information, if the guy don't look you, you look fair. You say, you have an auntie that is fair. Of course. Are you the only one that will be fair in your whole family? And if that one is unlucky, doesn't live with you. And last time you saw her, she turned. Make a long story short. They will twist it. See, let me not talk about that in details. But it's their trade. It's their trade. They know what to tell you, and you will start believing them. That's one group. The other group, they are actually possessed with familiar spirits. It's all business still. At our prophet in Lagos, he had both of them. As a little boy, he had a familiar spirit. He did. I heard testimony of those who knew him from them. He grew up in this white garment axis. Can I say it again? Please, I know some of you are white garment people. I am sorry. I'm instructing those who listen to the word of God from my mouth. Be wary of white garment churches. Be careful. If people are going to a church and all they do is wear white. White garments. You know those people I'm talking about? Robes now. Especially they don't wear shoes. I am commanding you, be careful. 99 out of 100 don't know Christ. There is a cesspool of evil spirits. Witches meet there. Familiar spirits eat there. Babalawos leave the shrine and wear white and come to the church. And if you say you are born again, that's the church you are still going to. I seriously doubt whether you are not more confused than confusion itself. I have learned to tell people that listen to me the truth. So now, please, if you are getting angry, you have no part in me. Can I say that like Jesus used to say? If what I've said is still offending you, please, I don't know you. Get out. I owe you no apology. I wasn't talking to you. If you gave a life to Christ just last week, then leave. Those evil spirits will confuse your brain. You say, I've been to one that they are genuine. That's one out of your. No, I said 99. You just meant one out of 100. Be careful. See, let me tell you. So I don't know about those of you in Eastern Nigeria. I grew up in Western Nigeria, so I know what I'm talking about. We invented white garment. So it's an invention. I know them. My mother was telling me about one that was very, very big when we were young. Telling me about it recently. The church. The church was big. When we were in secondary school, then time for WAEC exam, people would go there with pen. For the man to anoint it for exam. Fake. Let me not tell you what became of him. Fake. Please, let me talk about false prophets again. Maybe it's because of an experience I had today that's pushing me this way. Avoid them. If anybody ever professes and sees who's worrying you, he's a liar. Christ doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit doesn't have time for such nonsense. What they do is separate families. They will find somebody to blame for your trouble. Let me tell you again. Once a prophet picks on somebody, a friend, an enemy, an uncle, your wife, your husband, and they say to you, this person is typical, witch, wizard. I am telling you under God in heaven, they lie. It's a lie. It is always, I was about to say almost always. No, it's not almost always lie. It is always a lie. And if the person was really a witch, it's coincidence. And if the person was really a witch, it doesn't matter. It's always a lie. No, there are two kinds of lies. There are lies that are absolute, that they are statements made in contrast to facts. But there are some lies that the facts are accurate, but they are of no consequence. For example, let me give an example. If I'm walking around here, and I tell you that I'm sick because this rug has bacteria. Now, let's go there. If you know enough about death and microbiology, please answer. If you don't know, don't say anything, please. Does this rug I'm standing on have a lot of bacteria? You all know. So you all know the answer is yes. Now, let me just add on that. Is it abnormal? It's normal. There are more bacteria on this earth than there are human beings. If you multiply the number of human beings by the number of human beings, that is like 10 billion by 10 billion, you see how more bacteria on the earth. So many bacteria everywhere. And they grow rapidly. You know, for you to have another child in 9 months, bacteria have their own in 2 minutes. Sorry, it's not 2 minutes. Maybe like two seconds. One today, by tomorrow morning, it's about a few hundreds. Yeah, 24, we call it culture. Just put it like this. By tomorrow morning, Something that was invisible forms one small round dot. That dot contains them in hundreds or thousands in 24 hours. Are they the cause of the problems we have? No. 99.9% of them are totally harmless. So if every bacterium on the road is jumping on me and causing disease, the doctor has learned to investigate what is wrong with you. They've learned to investigate what is wrong with you because they're always there. You can never get away from them. There are people that their immune system is zero for certain reasons. I won't talk about it. That for doctors to keep them alive for a few weeks while they replace their immune system, they put them in a place that, in a cage that they filter every drop of air, every bit of air going in. They filter it. Because you can't get away from bacteria. That's what I mean by practical falsehood. The fact may be, it looks like it is good. So somebody's a witch. It's not your problem. The devil is existing. He's been existing for a very long time. Jesus said that he's coming. He has nothing in me. So Jesus was used to it, walking 1 million evil spirits gathering on the road at night, and you have to go somewhere. You're not supposed to pause because they are there. They're supposed to move because you are coming. Do you get my point? See, every time I'm going out, there are evil spirits outside. I've never cast them out as I'm about to come out right now. I command all of you. They know. This child of God is coming. Relax. Everybody, stand down. Then when I have finished passing, they will now say, okay, there's a sinner coming. Chop that one. Do you get my point? That one doesn't have defense. What am I trying to say? God does not ever, he doesn't have the time to be pointing out to any. Hey, I'm tired of saying this thing. I've said it too many times. Somebody just led to it today. That's why I'm talking about it again. They are still breaking households. They are still breaking families till now because people are foolish enough to follow them. And I've been warning all of you that have been joining early morning prayers. Be careful the kind of morning prayer you join. Once they start, we begin to pray. Oh, they just shut them down. Say, Pastor, leave that in. I didn't join you because of witches. All the witches that are against you, today begin to say, Father God, destroy them, 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 destroy them. That is the sign I'm giving you. Log out. Listen, if you decide to go to false prophets and they destroy your home, destroy the relationship between you and your mother. Hey, by the way, they loved separating people from their mothers. Oh, they love it. You know why? I'll tell you the reason why. It's a satanic strategy. See, let me tell you about fathers. Fathers are defaultly wicked people. Let me tell you about fathers. If you smoke Igbo in his house, he will disown. Do you get my point? Like, if your father is a pastor, he's carried you to church, then he started smoking Igbo. He gives you one warning. When you add Nkurumiri to it, he warns you a second time. The day you start using cocaine, see, let me tell you about fathers. They will so disown you, you wouldn't believe it. You want to go and ask your mother, are you sure that's my father? He won't give you a dime to buy anything. He will see you naked on the street. He will drive past like he doesn't know you. And they will say, is that not your son? Say, which one? That one? No, I don't think so. I used to think so. I don't know anymore. But let me tell you about mothers. Mothers are the exact opposite. They can't take nonsense. Mothers. The mother will even buy the go and give you small so that you will not go outside to go and buy. Now, some of you are laughing. Let me tell you. Go and listen to me. I will give you the name because the man is some people may know him. Kayode Pella. He told the story in my church many years ago. All right? Long ago. Kayode Pella, his father, for those of you who are old enough, you know Professor Pella, the magician. That's his father. All right? He went into all kinds of things, eventually landed in drug addiction. Just like I told you, his father didn't care. He had made money big, of course. That's what drugs do. He wasted the whole money he had trying to get free of drug addiction. Oh, no, sorry, trying to service his drug addiction. So one day he came to defraud his mother. Because that was the only person left that he could defraud. He has stolen her jewelry. He has done everything to that woman. He has sold his own house. So he came to meet the mother that he had a hernia. Now, he had a scrotal hernia, which is not, according to him, it was not a big deal. He's had it for a long time. If he doesn't have complications, he can live with it. He said he had been living with it. So one day he went and met his mother. To collect money from his mother, he showed his mother his hernia. And the mother was like, what? Said, I need to have operation. I need to have surgery. So the mother said, okay. So you know what she was trying to do? She said that the mother should go and bring money. But the mother said, Lila, I'm not giving you the money. I know you. But you know what the mother did? He arranged to take him to a hospital in Ogun State. I think Shagam, thereabout. But he refused to give him the money. Hey, the guy looked like, how will I collect this money? So the mother said, no, let's go to the hospital. She said, I can see the sickness. Let's go now. So he followed the mother to hospital for one simple reason. I'll tell you the reason in a moment. What was the reason? He explained to the mother that these drugs he's taking, he was hooked on heroin or cocaine, one of them. I think it was heroin. Anyway, one of those hard ones. That he needs it, otherwise while he's in hospital, he won't heal properly. That's why I'm talking about mothers. The mother went out and bought enough supply to last when he will be in hospital. Showed it to him and put it in her bag. Let's go to the hospital. According to him, he followed the drugs. It was not the treatment. So he followed his mother to the hospital because she had bought enough supply of heroin. But it was good for him. Do you know why? The doctor that treated him was a born-again, tongue-talking, Holy Spirit-filled Christian. That was the guy that delivered him. And the guy found out that, this my guy is on drugs. Came to sat with him one day, brought a Bible. Oh, yeah. By the time he was done, he was born again. He was delivered. Yes. By the time the guy was done, it was just God that wanted to help him that carried him to that hospital there. The guy was a doctor. The guy was a Christian. The doctor that handled him. Didn't only treat him. In fact, he said that a guy came, he was rolling his stuff, hitting this thing, and trying to inhale, and the doctor came. Doc. Say, doctor, should please go and come back. Doctor said no. Say, this thing I'm doing, you wouldn't like it. Doctor said, I know. Just go ahead. He said, the guy sat there, watched him do the whole procedure. Watched him inhale. Watched him almost pass out. The guy just sat there. He said, he even blew smoke in his face. And the man didn't shift. Watched him, by the time he stabilized, brought out the Bible and began to preach. Make it long story short, he gave his life to Christ. That's why he was there to tell us this story. Now, when I told that mothers buy drugs, see now. I told that whole story to let you know mothers buy drugs. They do. Because the good smoking guy will go, by the time he finished rapping his mother, the mother will go and buy so that the boy won't die. That's how much mothers. God never said, Israel said, God has forsaken, forgotten them. God is saying, can a father ever forget? He said, fathers, they will forget. He had to liken his love for his people like that of a mother. Because the fathers will forget. My friend was wedding. We were all there, kind of up and down. The girl's father did not come because he had a political engagement. And told us to go ahead. I'm not joking. Some people, they don't want bomb boy. I've seen them before. They don't want to have boys. That these boys are not good. There's girls that don't forget. I've seen friends like that. I say, give them children. You can add one boy here just for the sake of the society. But for him, there are five girls and one boy, we thank God. So with five girls, you are okay. They will never forget. Why am I telling you all of this? So that is when the evil spirits want to come. They have to separate you from number one intercessor in your life. The one that is hard. To separate you from her is difficult. That is she will never go away. She will forgive you of everything. She will be on her knees every day praying for you. I remember the story Pastor Paul Adifrasin told us, and his brother told us about, because he and his brother, they were hooked on drugs. Crack. It was their mother going from church to church. You see the father in church? Because of what? Their mother was going from church to church. From one house to the other. For anywhere she could find deliverance for her boys, she was found there. Until God actually delivered them. Did you see their father anywhere? The father was like, there's nothing you needed that he didn't give you. If you decide to mess your life, it's your problem. So the false prophets are not too strong in separating you from your father. I never heard them. They say your father is a wizard. For what? They can tell the woman that her husband is, but they never tell this woman that your father is a wizard because they know that he doesn't care. Because daddy say you're a wizard. That will kill you if you don't get out. It is the mother that will say, ah, me, wizard. If I wanted a witch, if I wanted to kill you, when I was breastfeeding, she'll be defending herself. The father said, this time a wizard, eh? He goes inside, brings out a cutlass. Are you still there? Now, so that is why they like to separate people from their mothers. They will tell you, she is a witch. Listen to me. I'll let you know when I'm joking. But not right now, I'm dead serious. There are few people in your life that beg God for you as your mother does. You guys, I'm telling you the truth. There are very few. Very, very few. Between your wife and your mother, if they both know how to pray, that's 99% of your intercession. All these church people, prayer warrior, don't count on them. Most of them don't even believe in prayer. You know, they have to be joined something in church. I told you about my friend. What he told me was in prayer warriors in their church. Big church. If I mention the name of the church like this, you will leave ministry out of anger. Yes. A member, a staunch member in their intercessory unit, his wife died. So after burial, he invited them to his house for refreshment because they were well-to-do person, just to tell them thank you. They did not come. Why? They said the witch that killed his wife is still there. My friend who's a member, he called me, said, Pastor, come and see you. I said, see, I told these people don't believe. You know, you've heard me say many times. They don't believe. They don't believe. Let me not sit on that one. Not everybody, you know, after all this prayer, people don't believe. They don't believe. And these are the people who go to church and pray. Hey, God, and they can do night vigil. I told all of you, at night, go and sleep. See. Some people won't like when I say it, but it's the truth. At night, what should you do? Sleep. The prayer God will not answer for you between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m. It's not like it will answer it even if it was 12 midnight. I only prescribe night prayer for the sake of what? Concentration. So nobody will be calling you. Your son will not come and knock on the door. Daddy, did you take my socks? You know stuff like that? He's asleep. You know, because Satan knows how to do what you are. Father, I want to. You are Father in the name of Jesus. Yeah, go. Daddy. That is why I recommend wait for them to fall asleep. You have some important issues to handle. The Lord is good. Now, what am I going to say? The persons really praying for you, I'm telling you, they are not many. Now, I'm not saying it's supposed to be like that. I'm not saying supposed to be like that. You should pray for people from the bottom of your heart. I hope you get my point. And as brethren, we should pray for one another. But I've just noticed, and you can understand why. Why mothers tend to be more dedicated. And of course, wives will be more dedicated to their husband or their son more than the average person. The other prayer warrior in church also has problems now. Are you getting my point? So you cannot be the primary focus of his or her prayer. So that is why these prophets go there. Back to the main thing I'm trying to teach. They go there because it is one place where, you know, the intercession is so much, they have to turn your intercessor, and this is the key, to an accuser. And many persons don't know enough to make sure that that does not happen. And how do you turn your intercessor to an accuser? It's true offense. And anybody in life can get offended. When you start hearing the woman say things like, just know the guy is near death. Start saying things like, unless I'm not the one that breastfed him. Those are killing words. And she may not know. When she starts saying things like, Shebi, I'm the witch. God will judge between us. When she starts uttering those words, those guys are succeeding. That is why if you're a Christian mother, don't let it ever happen. Just understand when somebody is under an influence. And I can assure you of this, you can break the influence of those familiar spirits that separate homes. You can. I'm not teaching about that today, but I wrote about it in one of my books. But you can. We learned it those days when we were in school, when we were reading Kenneth Hagin's Authority of the Believer. You can. But you can't if you're offended. You can't if you have gotten angry. Your faith will be weakened if bitterness creeps into your heart. But let's talk about those prophets again. That is why they do what they do. The number one thing they have as an agenda is to separate you from your intercessors. They break homes. That is why I say, and I have no shame in saying it, may the Lord destroy them one by one. It's critical. I consider them the worst problems around. And I'm banning you, if you are listening to me, from ever patronizing anyone. They cannot see. Don't let their visions impress you. What Paul did when he caught one of them was to cast out the evil spirit from her. So that fake prophet in Lagos that I used to talk about, you know that's what he used to do. He grew up with a familiar spirit. It was one of the little boys in those white garment churches that used to have visions during their, God bless you, man. I was trying not to use gyration, but the Holy Spirit told you to tell me to use it. You know, because they whipped themselves into a frenzy. They start clapping. The next thing, you know, they can beat drum. Listen, it's all evil worship. It's not real worship. If you heard their drum beats, you know they are conjuring evil spirits. There's a way we say in Western Nigeria. The spirit will catch the person. And that, how did they say it? Lagos guys. But they have it in Lagos now. They say, exactly. Next thing we begin prophesy. They start prophesying. Now we are older now. All of it, evil. Evil spirits. And one of the ways you know is evil spirits. Those their pastors are chronic adulterers.
Yes, sir. Yes.
As long as you know them.
Yes,
sir. That was their... That's what they used to do. That's how you know they are evil spirits. They could commit adultery. Till now, be reading... Let me not tell you. One newspaper can publish that. You hear pastor, the impregnated member, is them. Not normal. Oh, it is them. None of us bear the name pastor. I said, if it's now, I'm starting ministry. I'm not pastor. I'm Brother Banky. Brock Billy. I should have followed Brother Billy early. This pastor title is not good. There are too many charlatans using it in town. That's how you know them. See, that is the work they do. Ophni and Phineas, all of them. Sons of Belial, the Bible calls them. No, that's how you know them. They could commit adultery. Yeah. They have no other job. You carry yourself, enter some of those churches. Just know your sins have found you out. And they can grow ministry. Because once you start, the familiar spirit will start. Those of you are always looking for... Somebody actually said, what they made them tell me. Say, tell pastor, now let him try and see small. The one where they see, never do the first. I can see all the sins you are committing. You are not happy with that one. I can see the promises of God doesn't satisfy the faith. They say, tell pastor, may he see small now. You know, if I start seeing, as such person would be here regularly. I see as you are coming. I enter into your village now. There's a mango tree in the front of your father's compound. And I have to have somebody here. Let me tell you another. If you ever see, you see them on television. If you ever see any pastor, they are whining. He's using familiar spirits. See, I will tell you again. I want to preach. And Jonathan is holding microphone there. Say, preach my daddy. Holy Spirit is showing me something. Say, tell us. See, I don't care what the person wants to say. Both of them have an evil spirit. It's the way this thing goes. It's the way it goes. I'm telling you the truth. I'm saying this so that you won't fall for it. Don't be impressed. There are priests who say, if you are the type that's easily moved by signs and wonders, you are a candidate for the Antichrist. That's how a man sat in Lagos, built a big congregation, and to me, the line was so obvious, people couldn't see it. That he was lying was so clear, I could see it from a million kilometers without binoculars. Yet people couldn't see that this man was false. They asked him when he gave his life to Christ, when he tried to join PFN and CAN and all of that. He said he was born again from his mother's womb. We give PFN credit. They rejected him. Say, Lila, you are not one of us. It's so funny. It's those who rejected PFN that joined him. It was so obvious. I didn't have a shred of doubt in my heart for 1 second. That this guy is for. Okay, I knew him before he blew. So So that he was false was never in doubt. Please stop following false prophets. That's what I want to say to you again today. Please, I beg you. They can't help you. All they do is destroy families. You see them. That's what they do. Once you start going, next day, husband is not talking to wife again. I've used this illustration a number of times. I read in the papers. Or online. The guy who told the story of what he did to his family. And I said that if you know that young man, go and tell him that he will get into worse trouble. I didn't even, I was preaching. One of our brothers was listening. He called me after. He said, sir, that story is a personal story to me. The guy is my cousin. Small world, they say. He said, oh, he's my cousin. He said, that thing you said about his life is exactly the way you said it. I didn't even know him. When I read the guy's story, I said, this guy, you don't know, evil spirits have taken over your life also. You just don't know. They came in another angle. With your father and your mother, they took them to church. Look, one went to one mountain branch, one went to one Redeem branch. Redeem is a good church. I'm not saying Redeem is a bad church. I'm just trying to say that particular one. That branch, you know, these churches that have many branches, some of them are pastored by demons. So you can fall into one. You see, the Catholic church pastored by demons. The Anglican church is Pentecostal church, so I'm not abusing anybody. Just don't enter a church anyhow just because the person is wearing a suit. So I'm not trying to abuse anybody. And it can happen to anybody, all right? So it's possible. I'm not trying to abuse anybody. But this guy went. The father went to one. The mother went to one. One said the mother is a witch. The one the father went said that, the one that the mother went to said the husband is an occultist. Yes. In the midst of a crisis that time, their daughter had died. So one said that the man sacrificed the girl for money. The other one said that the woman ate the girl. The house was scattered. And this boy was so angry. And when he was not telling the story. When I read it and his conclusion, I shook my head. I said, this boy is in trouble. They got him, he doesn't know. They have him already, he does not know. I preached like this, you know, just like I was talking about it now. Just now. Then that one of our brothers called me after. He said, sir, he's a pastor. He said, sir, that story you told, I know the family. They are my cousins. Said, just like you said, that boy has not been able to graduate from university after many years. Said, his life is a mess. I said, you know, I said, I didn't know him when I said it. All I needed to do was read the conclusion he came to from the things that happened. And I said, they got this boy, he doesn't know. That is why I say again, Father, from Enugu, destroy false prophets. Amen. Yes. Wherever you are, pray for your own place. Oh, this is not my zone. That's why I mentioned Enugu. They are evil people. We don't want them in the land. Let's get back to my message. I just said something, right? I know I give you a summary of where I was. Yes, okay. Yeah, good. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you very much. So we're saying that, I was revealing what we said last time about God-centered thinking. And that there's a fact about it. God is a judge. But there's a practical side of it in which you must deliberately take your hands away from people's control. Because your faith or lack of it can mess things out for you, around for you. So you tell, why am I broke? It is not federal government's problem. I need to go and pray. You know what James said? You have not because you have a bad government. Was that what he said? No. You have not because you voted for the wrong party. No. Why did he say you don't have? No. I want you to understand something. Those men were not saying things that they liked to. They were saying things that Jesus said. Yes. Is it teachings of Jesus Christ they were amplifying? For his people, Jesus doesn't care about the environment primarily. Your name is Elijah. There's famine. I can take it to the brook. And there, unlikely birds will bring food for you. And the brook will not dry. Do you know why Elijah's brook, the brook of cherries, you know why it dried? Because one widow somewhere was crying for help. And the eye of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth. What is he doing? He's looking for anyone whose heart is perfect towards him, that he might show himself strong on that person's behalf. So he dried up the brook for Elijah. So Elijah could say, Lord, what's going on? He said, now, pack and go to Zarephath. There is a woman there. I've prepared for her to take care of you. And she was flat broke. Know the truth? God sent Elijah with the supernatural provision to take care of that woman and her household. Elijah was not the one that needed help. If you see the words of Jesus Christ later, you will recognize what I'm saying. Don't want to sit on that. So God can provide any time. In the wilderness, he can make manna fall. He can make birds fall from everywhere as chicken for you. So you are never broke or poor because of the environment. James said, you have not. Why? You do not ask. Let's bear that in mind. So we are taking our lives away. It's very important we understand that. You practice it. There's something Jonathan said earlier when he was leading prayer at the beginning. He was talking about practicing praise and thanksgiving. You said that at the beginning. As a habit. I like when he said it. I said, this is so key. This practice. You are deliberate about it. And I'm telling you again, what you are doing is collecting your life back. Many of us daily, we donate to the federal government. We donate to the environment. We can't eat like before. Why? You know, Tinubu economy. We can't be driving up and down. Do you know why? Tinubu economy. You know the fuel price now. You just, everything. Tinubu economy. Your children have never met Tinubu. The day they meet him, they'll shoot him. If they had a gun. This, by the way, let me just drop another small aside. Please stop poisoning your children for the society. Please, I'm begging you. Some of you, your children did not fight the Biafran war. They were in the war because of you. This boy is only 17. You've told him all stories that you did not witness. So. Because for you to have witnessed the war, you had to be at least 60 years old. The war ended in 1970. That's 54 years ago. In case you don't know, I was born after the war, me talking to you. And I old past you, And even if I was born 10 years before I was born, I would not have witnessed it. I've been too small to understand what was going on. Yet you see 18-year-old boys vexed on that matter. They are angry on that matter. Why? Their parents. I'm just dropping that for you, please. Don't poison the next generation. It's people who don't understand. That's why they push evil spirits from generation to generation. That's a small aside. Okay? Let's be careful. Don't pass your bitterness to your children. Please. Many people, look, their children didn't vote. They don't do anything good in this country. They don't know. But if you hear them talk, you see the bitterness in a teenager who doesn't work, who doesn't pay bills. Yet he's angry. When a cousin of mine called me, said I should send her money. I'm like, what do you need money for? He wants to buy a ticket to go abroad. I said, me? You're not serious. I said, what are you going to look for? You've not finished school. I mean, again, small aside. Be careful when you just carry that. You see, you are at a serious disadvantage if you leave this country and you've not finished school. I know what I'm telling you. You have not gone to school and you are trying to raise money to buy a ticket to go to where? To UK. I said, what is going on? He said, Uncle, the way this country is going, and you're asking me for money. Shouldn't I be the one complaining about the way the country is going? Because I'm working, you are not working. The way the country is going, I'm supposed to look for money out of this country that is going. I said, remember, I told her, I was so angry that day. 50 kobo I'm not giving you. You didn't call me, say, bros, I've not paid my school fees, though. You didn't call. You didn't call and say, please, I need to retake JAMB. I need the training center. Can I come and stay with you for 3 months while I get... Those are the conversations we'll be having at your age. You are telling me the way the country is going. It's not your fault. It's the elders. You can't identify country. You can't identify movement. But you know where it is going. Please, let's be careful that we don't poison the next generation. But like I was saying, every time you talk like that, you know what you are doing? You are taking your life and donating to forces outside. Listen to this. You are literally crippling the hand of God in your situation. Please, let me talk about total faith again. He said, have faith in God constantly. Many of us, when we finally need faith, we're talking about why answers are delayed. Now I'm back to it. When we finally need faith, we don't have it. Do you know why? We spent it recklessly over the last few years. Every day you wake up, this country is not good. Why? Buhari is in power. This country is not good. Why? Oshibajo has been, you know, what's the word they used for Oshibajo that time? He has been, they have removed his powers because he was supposed to be the savior we had in waiting. Except that he didn't make it. Hey, this country is not good. Why? Because APC took over from Goodluck. Like one of my classmates say, if Goodluck goes away, what replaces it? Bad luck. Like I say, it's a Christian, I don't believe. Then Goodluck goes away, what remains? It's bad luck. You said that for years. Then Bola Tinubu came into power. Oh, which hope? They said a new hope. Was that not how they told us they changed? We are dead in this country. And then you say that every day. Then you need money. Because, hey, wait, let's get something clear. I can't provide in this country. I can't. You see, pray from now to tomorrow, I won't answer. Why? For 2-3 years. Not 3 years. Buhari first came to power 8 years ago. A little over 8 years. For over 8 years, you have thrown away your faith. I will answer you. When Jesus mounts his throne in Abuja, even then you wouldn't recognize him, you crucify him. Basically, I can't answer you. Talk from now till tomorrow, there is no way I'll be able to answer your prayer. People of God, this is not a joke. You can't see, I'm not laughing. Jesus said, go and read that Mark chapter 11. Have faith in God constantly. You can't throw away faith for 8 years, then suddenly you are in need. And faith will come from where? It's only if you have made faith. Like Jonathan told us earlier, if you have made thanksgiving and praise a habit, that is when in the depths of lack, you will look and say, God will supply. And next morning, supply will come. I hope you're getting my point. People of God, let's be deliberate about it. See, test will come. When I say test, test to say something wrong. To blame something for the fact that you are not in a good position right now. Look at how my uncle was doing that time. The reason why I'm here now is because my uncle did not help. And you say that every day. I know the truth. This life, this illusion can be made so real to you. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes. Yeah. Things that really don't exist. Eh? Spiritually, it can be made real. You'll be amazed at how you believe something that's not true. That is why I keep on warning Christians. Make thanksgiving a habit. Make thanksgiving a habit. If you continue with grumbling so much, you see, I said there was a day I saw a program, a 17-year-old boy shot for nothing. An old white man. When I watched Christiana Mampo analyze that situation, she didn't know what, the boy couldn't answer what happened. And I instantly I got it. I said, I know what happened to this boy. All the years of bitterness that had been poured into him, he finally found a white man under his control. He didn't know when he fired a bullet. And they executed him for it. Texas, they didn't care that he was only 17. They tried him, found him guilty, sent him to death. And look, Christian Mampo showed us a dead body after the execution. In the same manner, listen, good things, God can create. He can create good literally out of thin air for you. He can. Your job is to protect your faith no matter what it takes. See, they will tell you are deceiving yourself. Please tell them this deception is good for me. I can keep on saying, listen, if you, Jesus, okay, let me tell you, who's in front of you here? No, let's not be spiritual, all right? I mean, like, just be real. Who's in front of you here? All right? Mention it now. Pastor, one pastor, all right? One black guy like this, okay? Good. So whatever I'm preaching, let's pray that it is correct and it's Holy Spirit that's inspiring me. But think about it. Remove it for a moment. Jesus himself stands in front of you. If he tells you walk on air, won't you be able to walk on air? He was in front of Peter and he sank. I don't know whether I get my point. If you think your faith is a joke, that's what I'm going to explain. With all the power of God that Jesus had, looking at Peter in the eyes like this, he told Peter, come, walk on water. Peter was walking, his face gave and he sank. His faith gave way and he went down. People of God, guard your faith with all diligence. If people are gathering, See, I've told you, it's not every WhatsApp group you belong in. This is how you know where you don't belong, where you don't belong. They keep on posting bad news. Chief of Army staff died. See, in this country, Chief of Army staff is dying. Can you imagine? Where's the army going? They post that one to you. That's a comment on it. Let me not say too many. Let me not give you too many gist. Every something bad happened. Tanker explodes. Kills. They post it for you. Then every day that you go, see, let me tell you something. Just leave. Just leave. See, if you deceive yourself into believing God is with you, you know the truth? He will be with you. Do you call it deceiving yourself? But it's not deception. I've told you many times, this news you read, let me say something to you quickly. Eh? This world is not innocent. Too. You know, I tell you, don't be afraid of witches. You know, I keep on saying it. But let me not tell you another part, in case you have forgotten. There are people worse than witches outside there. They are there. Satan is alive. And is going around, prowling, looking for who he will devour. And what he uses, the Bible says, are devices, tricks. Please, you see where I'm going in a moment. My wife and I were discussing yesterday. I was just reminding her of some things that happened when I first came to Enugu. I said, now it's making sense. That must have been a strategy to make sure I can't preach the truth over the next 10, 20 years. And people will be thinking, I said, no. I look back now and I realize Satan will sit down and arrange and say, Dami is coming to town. He's starting a ministry. Ha! They look, they saw. Now, many things God is doing in your life, you don't know. But wise men from the east, they will see it. Joseph did not know about the star. Mary was not aware about the star. The woman was just in labor. That's what they knew. But wise men from the east, they saw it. Herod was looking for the child to kill. Herod was looking for that child to kill. And Joseph didn't understand the depth of these things. What am I saying? Sometimes in your life, let me explain. Your star is actually there, shining. And Herod is trying to end it. Please, I'm not preaching false prophets doctrine now because you may think I'm sounding like them. I will tell you the truth. Somebody say, Herod, you will not kill. Did you hear Mary pray like that? Somebody said, tell Herod I'm not John the Baptist. I said, what difference does it make? Like woman said, hey, you tell the witches, my blood is not mortal Guinness, it's bitter. My blood is not pepper soup. There's one comedian that's a pastor in Wari. That guy is funny. You know the guy. Now, please, let me continue on and say. So these evil people, they may not be human beings, but as you can see, Herod was being used by an evil spirit. You know that. They are there. They can see. Now, it's their strategy I am talking about. Their strategy is not what you are thinking. The way these prophets try to tell us. No, their strategy is, that Peter wants to walk on water. What do we do? Remove his faith. Remove his faith. Faith. How do we do it? It's simple. Give him the bad news now. So every day, now, where I'm going is that, so the news you get, they are strategically engineered to weaken your faith. They are not random. People have had meetings. I'm not kidding what I'm telling you. Please, can I say this? Christians, you cannot succeed in this life plain anyhow. You can't. You go to church when you like. Read the Bible when you feel like. No, you can't. You can't. What you do, you are deliberate about feeding your soul. You are deliberate about feeding your spirit. Why? Because even if Jesus is standing in front of you, saying, come, if your faith gives, you sink. If your faith gives, you sink. I saw one cartoon. Hi. One of you here posted it on your status, WhatsApp. I can't remember who. Anyway, this guy, he was I don't know what they are. Maybe it's magic they are doing or something. They're supposed to cross a gorge. All right? There's a deep, you know, gorge there. So they're supposed to cross from one end to the other. And they need the magic, whatever it is. So one guy held the rope and told the other guy to walk and just believe. No, I don't know what they did beforehand. So the guy took the first step. He felt. They brought him down, told him what to do. So he put the first step and he was walking on air. And he was walking, believing that guy had the rope. So that rope gave him confidence. He didn't know the rope was shorter than the gap. So he said, "You have the rope," the guy said. And he was walking on air. He was walking on air. So towards the end, instead of him to continue walking, he decided to look back only to discover that guy didn't have the rope anymore. The rope was too short, so the rope had fallen. So as soon as he looked back, bam, he crashed. But good enough, he was near the edge, so he grabbed the edge. Now, let me tell you something. See, there's a way I see things. It may be a cartoon or whatever it is. I saw in a Christian status, somebody's a Christian, posted it. I said, but this is so true. This is real life. As long as his faith was there, he kept on taking the step on top of, let's say, water now. It wasn't water, it was air. But just trying to add it to Peter's story, one after the other. But the moment something removed his faith, no matter what it was, something removed his faith. He looked back and saw that his big bro, his dad, whoever was holding the rope, no longer had the rope. His heart melted. And suddenly the air under him that kept him all this while just gave. And he fell. This is how life is. If we don't have the details of Peter's story, do you know what we write at the end of the day? Is that please don't walk on water. It's dangerous. You get my point? If we do not have the details of what exactly happened with Peter, what we'll be saying is, please don't walk on water. It is dangerous. But the real story is, why did you doubt? So what should be our caution now? Never doubt. When you are out on water, keep your eyes on the Lord. If you are going with the Lord, don't look to the left or to the right. Don't be distracted. Keep your eyes on God. If your eyes are on Him and your faith is strong, no matter how soft the under may be, you're on top of water, don't worry if you hold your weight. Don't worry, in the midst of a difficult economy, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. No matter how dangerous the times are, don't worry, no evil shall befall you, no plague will come near your dwelling place. Indeed, the Lord is your shepherd and you will not lack anything. Satan is always strategizing to weaken the faith of believers so they can sink. Hey, let me add this one. Are many people who threw away their faith long ago? They are the number one agents of Satan. See, those who threw away their faith long ago, they are the first agent of Satan. Shortly after I left school, I was the house officer. One of my chiefs saw me with the Bible. I always went around with a small Bible. I had this beautiful, compact, New American Standard Bible. I went around everywhere with all the time. Somebody saw it with me. And I always had three things. That my tiny Bible, a hardcover notebook, and then whatever book I'm reading. It followed me everywhere. I mean, I'm on word run. It's there. I'm going to walk in the morning, there in my hand. So one of them was starting, I think, the doctor's room. So he saw my pack of books. I said, "You're a Christian?" I said, "Yes." I said, "You are still in that thing." He said, "I was a Christian when I was in school." So I said, "Was? Is there a was to these things?" I don't get my point. It's like, say, I was a human being when I was in university. So what are you now? You know, that's my attitude. I said, "Chief, what do you mean?" He said, "He realized it was not worth it." Yeah, those were his words. His exact words. And I asked him simple. I said, "Sir, what was not worth what?" I wanted to know. Because I couldn't see what Jesus has done badly for me in my life. What has he taken from me? What have I given him? I don't know whether you're getting my point. It wasn't worth it. What wasn't worth what? Thank you. What was not worth it? I mean, what did it cost me? I mean, I was young. I had not made any dangerous. You are in university. What do you want to do for him anyway? Jobless, poor. I mean, what do you want to do for him? That you say he was not worth. Every other thing you do is not. Look, we go to fellowship. It's not social gathering.
No, I don't know whether I get my point. No, I know fellowship is good. I'm just saying, even if you don't think that there was a spiritual side to it, the social aspect, I know people who thrived. I have their names in my face, in my mind, and their faces I'm thinking. They thrived just by being our fellowship. As soon as they left, they walked away. They were never true believers, but the society, the, you know, the gathering helped them to stay focused. So I was like, what have I done? What have I paid? What sacrifice have I made for the Lord that you will tell me it wasn't worth it? I was still young. I just left school. It's my first year outside university. I had enough understanding to understand that, see, the life of iniquity was not worth anything. So you can't tell me it was not worth it. Are you out of your mind? I said, Chief, he had no answer for me. It wasn't worth it. I asked him that. He couldn't answer me. I said, Chief, I need to know. What was not worth what? What were you expecting? Well, maybe his own problem was that they taught him righteousness by works. I learned from the beginning righteousness by faith. From the foundation, what I learned was righteousness by faith. I wasn't doing anything because I wanted anything from God. I went to fellowship because that was where we got blessed. I participated in the activities of the fellowship because I was a living human being amongst my friends. I had response. Even if I was in Pan Wine Drinkers Club, I would have taken up the same responsibilities. It's not to carry equipment. I had a classmate, a roommate. We were classmates from secondary school, though. I met him before we came to university. He joined Pan Wine Drinkers Club. I joined fellowship. I carried mic. He also carried drum. I don't know where I get my point. I had a Bible. He had this horn of ram for drinking. He went to fellowship every week. I went twice a week. Yeah, they have fellowship. When he's going, he wears his this thing. You know, what was not worth what? I don't think I sacrificed anything for the Lord in university, personally. If anything, he was the one guiding me, leading me, helping me. Ha! Somebody that delivered me. Medical exams. They could put the fear of God into you. He delivered me through everyone. But there were three dramatic testimonies that he did while I watched. In fact, the fourth one, I'm remembering now. What was not worth what? He was the one doing stuff for me. I don't know whether you are getting my point. He was the one. I joined my brethren in the room to be clapping and singing. If I didn't clap and sing here, I would have been clapping and singing somewhere else. Clapping and singing is clapping and singing. What was not worth what? My friend who didn't join fellowship, he also clapped and he sang in Pan Wine Drinkers Club. What am I talking about? It is those who've thrown away their faith that the number one disciples or apostles of Satan. And you know what? Let me just tell those of you who God has placed in front. Please, I'll get to my message. I'll have time sometime today. Please, let me just tell those of you who are leaders of faith. You don't enter. Now, that's English. Those of you in Australia, that's Nigerian English. It's very good English, just that you don't know it. It's perfect. I mean, I don't know which expression is better than that. Okay, give me, Mama. Give me a better way to say for those in Scotland to be able to understand. Okay, all right, that's it. You are in. Sounds so weak, all right, but it's okay. Yeah, if you're a leader in faith, you are in. You are in. But let me add Nigerian one to it to give it weight. You don't enter. You are in. I mean, let me explain what I say. If you leave that Egypt, you have to get to the promised land. You can't turn back. If you turn back, God will kill you in the wilderness. And you have no compunction doing it. No, he doesn't tolerate it. He will lay your corpse low in the wilderness. If you're a leader in faith, sorry. You should not have given your life to Christ. You gave your life to Christ too bad now. You can't take it back. I'll give you a philosophy. I know what I'm talking about. The other we were talking about, we're gisting about soldiers, their attitude. All right? We have to have the soldier's attitude. There was a time, I heard a story. This really happened, not a folktale. You may have read the news that time when some policemen, I think they were just high on stress. They had been fighting in all this insurgency. It was the early days of insurgency. So they brought some of their dead colleagues to the teaching hospital, and they told them there was no space. The morgue was full. And the Christ was hot. So they lost it. I don't know whether they had not slept for days, whether they were, anyway, they started beating everybody. It was in the news that time. Now you see where I'm going with the story. Armed mobile policemen took over a teaching hospital. What will you do? The only thing they could do was to call for soldiers. They were not listening to anybody. Now listen to this story, part of it I heard. So the soldiers arrived. The policemen were armed. They had their guns. So they knelt down, aimed their guns at the soldiers, and dared the soldiers to come closer. These are both Nigerians. Now listen to what happened. When I heard this story, I was weak. I think the captain leading the soldiers, no weapon, he came down, walked straight towards them. The guy leading cocked his gun. Dead him. He said the man kept on walking like there was nothing. He said the guy, just, and you know, he didn't break his stride. He was just marching, wah, wah, to where the guys were. They aimed their gun. They cocked the gun for him. The guy didn't break his stride. And they got there, took the leader by the hand, took his gun away, turned him around and handcuffed him. The rest dropped their weapons. That's a soldier. You know why? He can't turn back. You think it's bravery? He had no choice. That's how he's trained. The short one Air Force officer here, he fought the armed robbers, took his intestine in his hands, and drove to the hospital by himself. That's what soldiers do. He's where they are trained. They are not normal people. When they call you bloody civilian, they're not joking. You're a bloody civilian. They've been trained not to love their lives, even when faced with death. If he turns back, they will shoot him. It's called cowardice. You can't turn back. There's a reason why Paul said endure hardness. I like the King James English. It's so sweet. He said, endure hardness as a true soldier of Christ. That's what I'm telling you about. So, brethren, once God has made you a leader in faith, you're dead meat. There are times everybody is running. You can't run. Do you know why? The other people of faith are looking at you. And God said, that's how it's supposed to be. When they say hunger wants to kill us, he said, I will die here. Jesus has not said we should move. If you're a leader in faith, watch your actions. Watch your actions. Every eye is looking at you. Every eye is looking. If our God does not run, we can't run. Every eye, that's how they are using corner eye to look at you. They're saying, the name of Jesus, you know, they are looking at you. What is pastor doing? See, there are decisions you take as a pastor. You just kill the faith of your congregation. Yes, they just lose faith. Sometimes I say pastors do some things. I just shake my head. I said, well, you don't know what you have done to the faith of your people. I said, you don't know what you have done. And that's why, please, don't pretend as if your faith is bigger than it is. I hope I get my point. You know, some pastors say that I can never be sick. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm sure people say a lot. Can they go there? I've never had a headache. Are you getting my point? You now go to the pulpit and be shouting it. Meanwhile, the congregation members are your doctors. They are the ones coming to give injection at night. It's not necessary. Somebody will soon catch you. It's not necessary. Paul fell sick at a time. And that was why the Thessalonians, was it Thessalonians? Oh, yes, the Galatians, thank you. He said, I know if next you will have removed your eye from me. He said, you know what Paul said? He said, we're so stressed with despair of life itself. He said, such was the trials that we despaired of life itself. There's nothing wrong with telling brethren, man, last year, it was so tight, I thought I was going to die. But thank God I didn't die. That's what Paul said. He said, we had the sentence of death in our members. He said, but thanks be to God who gives life to the dead. He said, he comforted us in our afflictions. Why? He says so that now we can comfort those who are similarly afflicted with the same comfort with which
He comforted us. But that message is very important. If you are a leader, watch your actions. Makes a difference to the faith of the people following you. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I thought we should open somewhere, right? Okay, I read something. So what I was doing, just explaining that we have to be deliberate about putting our lives in God's hands. And our faith must never be allowed to weaken. Please allow me to spend 2 more minutes on it before I get to the thing I want to say. Walk on your faith. Get away from where they remove faith from you. Do you get my point? Walk away from them. Spend time. Spend money. Spend energy on feeding your soul and your spirit with the word of truth. Testimonies. I keep talking about books of testimonies. I like books like, I don't have many to recommend, but the Catherine Kuhlman series. Read Ken Hagin books. They're full of testimonies. Read books like Like a Mighty Wind, Mel Tari. Very old books. They're in the 70s. Read books like God's Smuggler. Very old book. Adventures in God. Read those books. Are you getting my point? Read all those materials. Again, I recommended Catherine Kuhlman's about 4 or 5 of her books. I Believe in Miracles. Nothing's Impossible with God. God Can Do It Again. 10,000 Miles for a Miracle. Different books like that to show you what God does. I like the story of John Alexander Dowie. I have a compilation of his sermons and the book about his life by Gordon Lindsay. Read books. I don't need to tell you about to read your Bible. Do I need to? If you have a heart that wants to know, God will speak to you through the scriptures. He will speak to you through messages like you are hearing now. He will speak to you through this. I talk about those testimonies because they boost your faith. You need information, you need knowledge, you need understanding. Please behave like it's important to you. You cannot replace building up your faith when you're praying for 10 hours. It doesn't work. It's better you settle down for 2 hours, study scriptures, and then pray for 15 minutes than you knocked your head against the wall for 2 hours, saying nothing. Solomon said, guard your steps when you approach the temple. When you are approaching the temple of God, draw near to listen. If you have not heard anything, your sacrifice will be a sacrifice of a fool. I hope you're getting my point. Please, guard your faith. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Faith is literally creative. If God speaks a word into your life, you need faith to activate it in your own life. If he says you can enter the promised land, if you say, I can't enter, you will not enter. And you have not proven God wrong. You've proven yourself wrong. Even though you think you are right. Somebody else will use that same word and enter. So be careful. Be careful. Please walk on your faith. Build your faith up regularly. Don't let it fall down. Christianity is about enduring till the end. Jesus kept on emphasizing it. He that endures till the end is the one that will be saved. He that endures till the end shall be saved. Christianity does not have a halfway walk. There's no half reward. There's no half reward. If you have put your, how do you say it on the plow? What do you put on the plow? Your hand. You can't look back. Once you leave Egypt, please fix your eyes on the promised land. You don't want to die in the wilderness. That is Christianity. There's no try, let us see whether it will work in Christianity. You launch full body into the deep. Behave like you are Peter. You're underwater. And there's nobody around to save you. If you go down, you're going down. But you can stay up if you keep your faith up. Walk on that faith like that. We're talking about praying away the hindrances, the delays in prayer, to answers to prayer. Let's see what we can say about it before we go. Now, last time, so I was saying to us, answer to prayer can appear delayed. But just like I've been saying, you can never let faith go down. My wife asked me years ago, what if Daniel had left? Time will not let us read now, but you know the story of Daniel in chapter 10. Daniel went to go and pray and took the angel how many weeks to get to him? 3 weeks, 21 days. So my wife asked me then, why I keep on referring to the fact that she asked was that I never thought about it. I couldn't remember thinking about it, and she asked me that day. She said, my husband, come. What did the angel had, before the angel arrived, Daniel had gone away. Of course, you must understand, going away doesn't have to be physical. Do you get my point? It doesn't have to be that place where he was. Going away was also in his heart. What if he had given up? I never thought about it until that day she said it. Most of us, of course, we look at the fact that Daniel was there for 21 days. And Daniel looked like he was willing to stay there for the next 21 days. And if he had to stay there for the next 6 months, it looked like he would have done it. But she just asked, what if he had left on the 16th day? What if he had left on the 17th day? What would have happened? It made me think. Don't forget, now listen to this carefully. Don't forget the angel had left his source, his destination that we are talking about now. So she wanted to know, will he have gone back? And I was like, but God has sent him. Will he go back? It made me think. And since then, I gave an answer that I can't remember the exact answer, but I've been going over the answer again and again. Let me just give it straight. Yes, the angel will have turned back. And it will have been interpreted as if the prince of Persia overcame him. But it will have been because faith and patience inherits the promise. Patience was missing in this particular equation, or would have been missing in that equation. And he will have gone back because of that. Because he that endures till the results come is the one that will be saved. Do you get my point? I taught this one in TCC, in the last All Believers Prayer Convention at TCC. And I explained there, see, that why did it take the angel 21 days? I need to explain this again. Why? Now, time will not allow us, but you know where it is, Daniel chapter 10. The angel said, look, somebody withstood me. What's his name? The prince. So it was like the demonic prince, we assume, all right? It's the principality over Persia who existed to oppose the purpose of God. It had to be of the kingdom of darkness, because if it was the kingdom of God, you wouldn't be there resisting the angel that God sent. So now, listen to this. It's very important you understand this concept. Why did it take God 21 days to release help? Now, listen. The way you see warfare on the earth is not the way it is in heaven. The angels don't collect sword and be fighting. It is not who went for Jackie Chan's training the most that wins battles in heaven. Do you get my point? It's not this angel is better trained than this one. So the demons are plenty in number. They are meeting an angel that's not well trained. So let's bring Michael, who has better training and more skill in warfare. No. Why did Michael come? I'll tell you. Michael represented a higher level of authority. It's not physical. It's not strength. Not like Michael's blue. He did break Beelzebub. It's not so. His presence was all that was needed. He's not going to get there and say, cover me, shoot from the other side. That one, a film. Are you getting my point? And Frank Peretti, see. In real life, once I think I told you this story before. I saw an episode of Touched by an Angel. They said they were going for warfare. And I wanted to see what they were going to do. And they did something which was impressive. By the way, I grew up in Western Nigeria, you know, and we look back, that thing was there. When the men went to fight, they went to fight with words. Even in battle, physical battle, see all this one of bandits and all of that, like Jonathan was leading us to pray earlier, the day we will drive them out physically, see, there's a spirit empowering these things. That spirit has to be withdrawn. No matter how much you fight them without the spirit being withdrawn, they will only recruit more soldiers. They will get the soldiers from anywhere. They will get from the locals. If the locals are finished, they go to Chad, they will go to Mali,
They will go to Niger. They will keep on bringing until the indignation is over. Spiritual things work like that. It's not about fight, physical fight. No, it's never like that. What really is happening is Michael's presence represented a different level of authority. Let me add this word to it. It represented a certain degree of activation of divine mercy. I hope you get my point. Michael is not going to leave there injured. That chance does not exist. It's not like Michael, and he rushed down to heaven. Father, God, send reinforcement. No, it doesn't work like that. His presence tells the prince of Persia things have changed. Do you get my point? Once he steps closer, the prince of Persia recognizes it and he pulls back. It's not saying, we are fighting. No. Authority is what speaks in the realm of the spirit. Michael doesn't have a Kalashnikov the type that the other angel did have. No. So the question is, why did it take the Lord 21 days to release Michael? The prince of Persia caught God by surprise. No. The simple reason, I'll tell you, is that certain prayers had not yet been said by Daniel and his co-prayer warriors. Enough to activate the release of Michael. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
Prayers are like that. They have measures. Let me say something about prayer, about answers. If I ask God for something, God send this device, whatever it is, and God says, I have heard you. Do you get my point? I have heard. Now, Isaiah chapter 40 tells us, he said, what do you do? After God has heard you, you have a new assignment. What is it? Elevate the valleys and bring down the mountains. If you want the glory of the Lord to be revealed. Do you get my point? That's the process of receiving an answer from God. There are things you do physically and materially. But more importantly, there are things you do spiritually. Let me put it like that. There are things you do spiritually and they are in two sides. There are other prayers to see. There are certain things you put in place that, look, but part of what you put in place, there are different prayers that need to be added to the first one. It is not as if God didn't hear the first time. How do you elevate the valley and bring down the mountain without prayer? Do you get what I'm going to say? Why did it take, I explained that in TCC. If you can get the tape, I preached that place. I explained it. Now listen, Daniel was, this Bible you have is very concise. Things are not said explicitly all the time, all right? Now, but I can, after reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and hearing many things, you begin to decode certain things. You hear of Elijah. Everything you read about Elijah, you assume was done by only Elijah. But God had to tell Elijah there were 5,000, is it 5 or 7,000? 7,000 others. You know what that tells you? Elijah had support. Elijah had prayer support even when he did not know. Do you get what I'm trying to say? There's order in the realm of the spirit. God promised something. He promised that the seed of the woman will come. Yet he raised people to pray. Yet he raised Abraham to activate certain keys. And he raised Simeon and Anna. Again, you know my understanding? It was not only Simeon and Anna. Those are the ones named for us. So you know what happened to Daniel? Daniel was there waiting for the angel. But he didn't know an angel was coming, he was just praying. But he was saying more and more prayers, and as the days will pass, the Holy Spirit will say to him, all right, okay, you have repented of this. But you know when they left Egypt that time, they activated this that lasted about 50 years. And no atonement ever was made for that. You'll be reading the history of the peoples. They just say, ah, we did this. How come? Then he will pray again. Lord, for breaking this third commandment, have mercy upon your people. And then God adds more to the cup. Then, you know, another person that God raised, maybe the people will know, Mishael. Ananiah, Azariah. Where is Daniel? He had gone to pray. Guys, let's pray with him. And they will go and be nodding the way Jews know to nod. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Mercy, our God is merciful. Our good is the Lord. They keep on saying things, saying things. The Holy Spirit will provoke some thoughts in them. They open to certain psalms and have mercy upon us, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Do not deal with us according to the multitude of our iniquity. They will say, speak in because they will keep on talking and talking. Then Daniel will say something. Then God keeps on filling the cup. Then when they hit the cup to a particular threshold, God taps Michael. Say, now you go. Now, remember I said, you toss this thing. God answers. He sends the answer on the way. Because you asked. But the answer, you know, there's the way God does things sometimes. It's as if he compartmentalizes things. He has asked, so send the answer. But the answer may not get there. Let's see what they are going to do about it. So the Holy Spirit starts leading. Pray like this. Behave like this. Repent here. Do this correctly. No, utter these words. Confess these words. Call this person. Ask for forgiveness. He starts preparing you for the answer. That is why one key, let me drop that one. You need to pray. That which I see not, teach thou me. It's so critical. Job 34, open to it quickly. This is how you handle delay in answers. Because you know God heard. Yes, he hears. After all, you are praying in accordance to his will. You are praying according to what he promised. The moment you ask, he heard. And you know what? He released the answer. The answer has gone forth. Why is the prince of Persia there? Listen to me. Every principality requires authority to stay. Did you hear what I said? They don't stay out of stubbornness. The prince of this world is coming. He must have something. Did you hear what I said? The prince of this world comes. He must have something. If he doesn't have, he can't stay. If he doesn't have, he cannot stay. So you need to ask, what does he have? What does he have? What is his basis of staying? Remember what we said the other time? We restored that from Ezekiel. Ezekiel explained that when Israel was in Egypt, that's how God does things. Moses came to them when the time for deliverance came. Many of us look at that. Moses just came and went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Go and check it. The first port of call of Moses was not Pharaoh's palace. It was the camp of the Israelites. It was their homes. Exodus does not tell us much about it. But reading the scriptures, we understand it. Moses was doing his apostolic work amongst the people of God. He was going to them and telling them, listen to these words, repent, for the time for deliverance has come. They will meet in the, they didn't have synagogues then, but let's assume they did, just for the purpose of explanation. Moses will go to their meeting. Repent, for the time for deliverance has come. The Lord said to our father, 400 years after, you will have to return to the promised land. It is time to return. You cannot return in the state you are in. Too much Egypt in your life. Repent, for the time for deliverance has come. It's always like that. Always like that. When the time for an answer comes, there must be repentance in certain areas in life. You don't get the answer until repentance is accomplished to its fullness in certain portions of your life. You can't. Then one day Moses said to them, that time has come. Some of them were still dilly-dallying. Some listened to him. He went to Pharaoh, let my people go. And I said, let's start with the signs. First, he turned water, that's the plagues now. He turned water to blood. And the Israelites too could not drink. What's the second plague? Frogs. Now, let me know. Who remembers the plagues? Give them to me if you remember them well. Frogs was number two, right? Anyway, the second plague came and the houses of the people of Israel were affected. The third one came. The people of Israel were equally affected, just like the Egyptians. Do you know why? Egypt was in their life. Egypt was in their homes. Some of them worshipped Ra. They worshipped the sun. They worshipped all the gods of Egypt. Moses kept on saying, repent. The time for deliverance has come. Some believed. A critical number believed enough for him to go to Pharaoh and go and say to Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may serve me. Thus says God, the God of the Israelites. He put the first plague. By the time he got to the third plague, the people realized that this guy is not joking. You know what he did?
They now pack the idols out of their homes. And as soon as the idols of Egypt left their homes, the next plague that came, they didn't enter their homes. I hope you're getting my point. Deliverance wouldn't come, even though it has been prayed for, except the necessary number of idols are ejected. The presence of idols prevents the answer from reaching home. Why is the prince of Persia there? He has an idol to hold on to. And as long as the idol is held on to, he stands his ground. Don't think the angel went there and fought and fought. Snake in monkey shadow. How many of you do karate? Nobody here has ever done karate. They have all kinds of styles in karate. Jinjan Lee. So I can imagine the angel going, whoa. No, it wasn't fight. It was not sword fight. It was not taekwondo. Everyone had a level of authority. The one that God releases depends on the level of mercy that has been activated. Do you get my point? So Daniel was praying and activating mercy. Once he activated enough, Michael showed up. Once Israel removed the idols from their homes, then they were not getting ready for deliverance. God was not planning to deliver anybody that would carry the idols of Egypt. So the plagues afflicted them until they removed the idols from their homes. That's the way it works. I'm watching my time. Let me begin to close. See, we'll open somewhere, right? I said we should open somewhere. Job 34. Yes, one scripture I'd like to read a lot. It's a prayer we are going to pray now and close with it. At least you understand now why that prayer is critical. Job chapter 34. Yeah, let's read from 31. It said, for has anyone said to God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore. I have suffered the delay in the answer. He now said in verse 32, teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will not do it again. Very important. Teach me what I do not see. You know, he said in Isaiah chapter 40, he said, elevate the valley. That is, bring up the valleys, bring down the mountains, make a smooth path for the Lord in the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. Let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. The glory of the Lord does not like to ride on that rugged terrain. If you do this, he said in verse 5, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and you will see it with your own eyes. Do you get my point? That's one thing we are dropping today. How do I remove the delay to the answer? Now, listen, I was saying something earlier. Remember, God has answered. Somebody say, God has heard me. Say, God has heard me. We said something last week that what happens a lot of times is that we are not even ready to carry the weight of the answer that the Lord is sending. That Israel used a longer route. How am I speaking like an American? Used a longer route. Americans have a lot of influence in our lives, all right? Israel used a longer road. Is that okay? To go to the promised land for one reason. What's that reason? Yeah, I use one word to summarize. That was the outside manifest. Inside their heart. Fear, cowardice, timidity, basically. That was inside their heart. The inability to face war. God was not afraid of war. He knew they would be afraid of war. I said last time that if it was David and his wife and his strong men living in Egypt, God wouldn't say such things. So we did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, because they will see what and turn back. David and who? See what? Turn to where? They were not going to do that. So the reason why they used a longer road to get to the answer was in them, not with God. It was in them, not with the Lord. So if my road is long, I go and build up my spiritual strength.
He said, if you fail in the day of adversity, it's because your strength is small. So what am I supposed to do? I build up my spiritual strength. Listen, the moment you pray, God heard. So anytime there is a delay, you start asking questions. Lord, where am I weak? What are the roads? What are the mountains that need to be brought down? The valleys, I just want to work out some things now, represent things like timidity, fear. What are the hills and mountains? They represent things like strongholds. You understand? My own personal strength, my might, my power. Why couldn't Moses do the work? He was too strong. His mountain of personality needed to be brought down so that the glory of God could ride into his life. Before that, Moses thought he could lead rebellion. Let's begin to pray for a few minutes. Yes, let's bow down our heads and say, Lord, wait, I prayed, Lord. No, you are praying now. You're the one talking now. I'm not telling you to wait. You are thinking loud to the Lord. Say, Lord, I pray though. I ask you for this. I ask you for that. Jesus said, and I will have. So if I don't have yet, it's not unbelief to say I don't yet have, but I have received. Did you get my point? That the Lord heard me and he has released. But physically, I do not yet have. So Lord, what is the cause of the delay? It's a critical question to ask. It is something that must be asked. That which I don't see, Lord, teach me. What am I supposed to repent of? Who am I supposed to forgive? Hey, one man of God was praying for somebody once. And he kept on hearing a certain amount of money. Let's say it's in Naira. It was not in Naira. He kept on hearing 100,000. 100,000 Naira. Ah! He stopped praying. He said, wait, what is this 100,000 Naira that won't leave me alone? And the man said, I did business with my brother-in-law. I kept 100,000 back. Ah! The man of God said, my boy, go and refund that money. He said, but let God heal you on credit. So he prayed for him. He got healed. He said, go home quickly and go and refund the money. That's the kind of things we say. Listen. That's why prophetic gifts are needed. Please, in the house, we have a program at the end of the month, beginning of next month, prayer and prophetic gathering. That is why we put that together. We need prophetic insight. When I'm teaching many times, I say things. People say, you were talking to me. It's good. But sometimes you need direct prophetic insight to tell you, this is the way. Walk in it. So please, take this evening and pray. Say, God, help me. Give me prophetic insight. Say, Lord, help me. I need prophetic insight into where the obstructions might be. Say, Lord, help me. I need prophetic insight. That which I don't see. Teach me, what are the areas where I need to bring down valleys? I need to elevate the valley, fill up the valley. What are the areas where I need to bring down mountains? Strongholds. Hey, strongholds. These are the mountains. These are the mountains, though. There are things that are elevated against the knowledge of Christ. So there's a brother, anytime he's talking, he says, yeah, things that country. That is for him. God is only a God of the mountains. He's not a God of the valleys. That is what they call a stronghold. There are times we say, Lord, help me. And deep inside your heart, you mean, Lord, if I don't leave Enugu, I can't prosper. And God said, I may take you out of Enugu, but I can't take you without thought in your heart. I can't. I can't take you without thought in your heart. So if I don't move to Lagos, move to Port Harcourt, move to Abuja, or move abroad, go to somewhere in UK or Europe or North America, I won't make it. God said, look, I can take you anywhere, but I will not remove you from Egypt with Egypt in your heart. With the gods of Egypt still stuck in your heart. No. If I do, you will get to the edge of the promised land and you will turn back and they will have to destroy you in the wilderness. And I don't want to do that. So he says, stay in Egypt first. A land where I'm not answering your prayer, it appears like. That's what it means when he says, bring down the mountain. Bring down the mountain. That's what it means. Bring down the mountain. That's what it means. Bring down the mountain. Say, pray to the Lord this evening. Say, Lord, that mountain, that stronghold. That stronghold. You know, there are people who have been praying for marriage and they are not married till today because God has sworn by himself, you will not marry any man from your village or from your state or any state that borders that one. So if it takes me 10 years to get you to remove that that stronghold, that mountain, that hill in your life, you and I are going to wait here. And you know, I'm the ancient of this. I'm not getting older. I have time on my side. That's what God is saying to somebody. Because I don't want it to be a consideration. It's a mountain. That is why I've heard you, but I'm not doing it. You need to pray, because people's strongholds, holding them back their prayers, the answers, things that God has granted. Do you know there are those who God called to ministry? They say, I can't be living by offerings. I'll not be using tithes and offering to live. God say, okay, stay there. I'll say, that anointing is not coming. Stay there. So let me start my business first until I've established, and I'll answer the call. Because that business will never succeed. And that's mercy. That's mercy. And that is mercy. So say to the Lord, that which I see not, teach me. What do I need to repent of? What, Lord, do I need to repent of? We'll close in a few moments, but please, I need you to pray this prayer. You need to pray it. Well, because, you see, some people right now, you're online, you're here physically, God is answering you now. I remember once I prayed like that in a meeting. God gave me an answer. It knocked me into my chair. I would just pray, Father, there could never be the obstruction. He called to the ministry. God, listen, you want to hear? When he heard, I fell. Thank God nobody was. It was not necessary for anybody to catch me. I fell into my chair. My chair was there to catch me. God will answer you right now. There are people he's answering now. He said to Jeremiah, do not say, I am a youth. That's a valley. That's a valley that needs to be filled. I can't. That's a valley that needs to be filled. You know, I don't have the boldness. I'm not smooth talking. That was the valley that needs to be filled. When Jeremiah said, you know, I'm a youth, I cannot speak. God said, do not say. Say, enough of repeating your lack of capacity, your inability, things that you cannot do. Enough of repeating it. Those are valleys. But you need to pray, Lord, that which I do not see, teach it to me. These are the things we do with prayer. It's not as if we stay there and be praying, as if God didn't hear the first time. He heard. Anyone you've said, he has heard it. Anyone you said, he heard it. You just need to ask, Lord, what next? What's next? I'm a minister of the gospel, Lord. Is fear holding me back? Is fear holding me back? Am I afraid of something? You may not know. The heart is deceitful. The heart can deceive you. You need to pray. You can't just say, no, me, I know myself. The heart is deceitful. So you need to pray and say, Lord, what is holding me back? What is it? I'm afraid to leave here and go to the next place. Why? A bread in hand is worth two in the bush. That's a lie. It's not the scripture. It's not the word of God. So you need to repent of such things that you have been saying. Now, let me just say this one more thing. This prayer, you need one more hour on it, but I have to let you go home. So when you go home, go and continue praying. Or set your alarm, wake up during the night, and continue. Take your jotter and take instructions. Because God does not bless disobedience. He can't. He works on you until he has perfected obedience in you. Whatever time it will take for him to do that is how long you will be on one spot. You hear what I said? He doesn't want to bless his obedience, because sometimes you have to understand something. He said, don't let them eat of the tree of life. Otherwise they will eat it and do what? And live forever. In a fallen state. God had to keep them away. That don't let them eat of the tree of life. So sometimes God will say, I can't bless you now, because this blessing will be short all the days of your life. So where you are right now, I won't bring that answer there. I need you to move to another level. And the longer it takes for you to be converted to what God wants you to be, the longer you'll be on that spot. So this prayer is not a joke. We're going to close now, because we have to. But please, let's put it like this. Pastor Dami, he said, you need to pray through. This is one you have to pray through. This is one prayer you have to pray through. Until you have clarity in life. It is not possible to ask God for a favor, for a blessing that he has promised and he won't grant it. The question is that why has the thing he granted not reached here? That's what the question is. And that's why we pray until we break through into the answer. That is why we pray until we break through into the answer. Let's give Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving me instruction. This is mercy. You have to understand the instructions of God is mercy. It's mercy. When God rebukes us, it is mercy. Our heads will never reject it. It is mercy. Give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the delay I've suffered so far. Because for that reason, I am not going to, live forever in a fallen state. You get what I'm going to say? So thank the Lord. So thank you for giving me instruction. Say, Lord, we'll see later in the evening. Because we have to close now. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Jesus Christ. When you travel, God will protect you. When you sleep at night, God will protect you. In the midst of hardship, God will supply all your needs according to his own riches, not according to the economy. Listen, he's a God above the economy. He's a God that makes water flow in the wilderness. Is the God that rains manna from heaven. He will supply your needs according to his ability in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely you have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Bless one person beside you. Say, this is your season. The last one for yourself. This is my season. The Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, God bless you. Share our brethren.